What's going on, everybody? Today we're going to be talking about reality. The truth about reality. Which is that reality is messy. This is important because if we want to understand reality, if we understand how to navigate reality without making too many messes, which probably isn't going to be completely possible, to be honest with you, but if you are to attempt to do this, you have to almost recognize this truth, that reality is, the best word I could come up with is messy, disordered. So let's say, to give an example, you're attempting to you're attempting to do something about something, whatever it is. We don't even need to get to that much detail about whatever it is. So let's say your attempt is to improve the economy. And so one of the ways in which you might attempt to do this is, I mean, there could be several ways, but, and we can get into a few of them here, but to give you one example that I've talked about before, minimum wage, raising minimum wage to help workers and this kind of thing, right? So, what you have to understand about reality and about how reality works, and this is not an overall solution-based episode, this is about becoming aware of what you can't know about what you're going to do. You can't know what's the word I'm going to use here? You can't know what the effectiveness of something is unless it's been tried before. You can't know what kind of chain reaction is going to happen if you do end up doing something in reality. Things like this, right? These are just obvious facts, but we don't usually think of things in this kind of way. Unless you're kind of you're a little bit more scientific. Even scientific people can fall into this, obviously, because it's so easy to believe that the answer is like cause and effect. This causes this, that means we must eliminate this cause, right? But one of the ultimate, probably one of the most fundamental, I don't even know how to use the word truths, but the most fundamental reality that's when it comes to reality is change itself. So whenever you do something, reality changes. And now whatever you did creates its own effects, creates its own consequences. So for an example, right? You want to improve the economy, you want to improve workers' wages, and so you increase minimum wage. What is that going to do in the end, right? What is that going to do? And so to really understand what a policy or, and not even necessarily a political policy or anything like this, but like anything that you might do within reality itself, to understand what that those things might do, you almost have to think like 10 or 200 moves ahead. Meaning like, you know that you're going to want to do this, and that's going to cause this problem here, and that's going to cause this problem here, this kind of thing. Because the problem is that cause and effect is actually too linear. It's not that way within reality as much. I mean, there is a cause and effect, but it's a lot more complex than just cause and effect. It can sometimes be that this thing caused this, which created this effect, but sometimes you might find that the effect the thing that you thought was the effect might have actually been caused or might have been caused by something else. The point is that you don't always know what the cause is. You don't always know what the effect is of what you're going to do. This is just facts. We have to become aware of this. We have to become willing to acknowledge this as truth, as reality, as it is. So minimum wage, right? So you increase minimum wage to help workers. What does that do? Well, one thing that it might do, it might not, but it might, probably will do, is it will eventually, over time, increase prices. So let's say you're in a place that's making, and minimum wage is like $9 an hour. Although most people were probably going to be making, well, maybe not most people, you know, a good number of people are probably going to be making more than that. Of course, not even including salaries, but the, let's say that the minimum wage is increased to $15 an hour from the $9 an hour that it was in the beginning. What's going to happen? And these are messy questions because you don't know what the answer is. You might think you know, oh, this is going to help workers. They're going to be able to afford more. But you're thinking of that based on what the prices are in this current moment. You're not thinking about what that policy might cause, you know, what this cause is going to cause, what effect that's going to bring. Maybe it's going to bring higher prices. Maybe it's going to bring inflation. Maybe it's going to bring you to a point where the workers that are now getting $15 instead of $9 an hour are basically able to afford the same amount of things that they were able to afford at $9 an hour, except everything's more expensive because of the price range, the price increase. Because life is change. Things are changing constantly. You know, for instance, to give an simple example, the sounds that I am producing are changing constantly. Each word is appearing and disappearing, leading to a new possibility for another word, for another sentence, things like this. And because this is the case, the thing that you're attempting to make happen within reality might not be doing what you think it's doing. Not because what you're doing is wrong or incorrect. It could be very correct. It could be, as far as you know, accurate. And as far as many people know, it could be accurate. But even if it is accurate, it still could be affecting things. It still could be causing these little, like, imperfections in realities, what you could call reality's structure, I guess, or content. You know, for instance, let's say you are doing something, and we all understand this, but it's deeper. We can go really, really deep with this. So, well, let's say you're on a phone call, or let's say you're a person who's on your phone a lot, right? So if you're on your phone a lot, you can't do other things. You can sort of multitask and you can sort of do things in that way, but it's probably not going to occur to you to do different things like exercise, this kind of thing. If you're on your phone 24/7, right? Cause and effect, well, they're not necessarily even cause and effect. See, we have this like limited concept when it comes to cause and effect, where it's like, oh, cause and effect works like this. This thing is caused by this, and this is the effect that's clear, right? But that's not how cause and effect necessarily works. Sometimes
what you think causes something is what caused that thing, but oftentimes you might find that it's not that way at all. In fact, I find that most of the time when it comes to cause and effect, it's rarely as simple as this caused this. It's usually like more complex, like these five things caused this, and it might have caused some other things as well, which caused these effects and these effects here, and these effects here, this kind of thing, right? And sometimes it feeds back on itself as well, where those effects then cause more causes. And so cause and effect is not as simple as it sounds. And as easy as it sounds, like, oh, well, it's pretty obvious that this is going to cause this to happen. But not necessarily, right? You have to be willing to notice that reality is going to be messy. Reality is going to differ when it comes to your perceptions of it versus reality itself. Those things are going to honestly oftentimes differ. Not because you're deluded or incorrect or just foolish, but because reality is change itself. Change is what reality is. Change begets more change, which creates current circumstance, which creates more change in the future. And so when you're thinking about, even if you're discounting politics, you're like, I don't care about politics, I don't care about policy, that's not concerning to me. That's fine too, we can talk about that as well, about how we should become wary about what policy is going to do and this kind of thing. But it's sometimes even simpler than this, where it could be as simple as I thought this was the cause and this was going to cause this and this going to cause this kind of thing, but I found out this was incorrect because this ended up happening instead and this kind of thing. Because reality is change. It's not necessarily constant in the same way that, like, the mind kind of makes it sometimes seem like, oh, this is just kind of constant. Like, you know, because we don't necessarily notice the differences between each moment. We just kind of notice, like, time is moving forward. We don't necessarily often even notice that, like, from moment to moment, things are changing, sounds are different in the next moment, and then in the next moment, then the next moment, things like this. We don't necessarily take that into our understanding. And yeah, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with not doing this, because you're probably going to be able to unable to really see all that in action anyways. But the point of that is, because oftentimes we have this very, like, simplistic and linear kind of mindset about how these things should be done, how they need to be done in this way, and this way, and this way, and that's going to cause this, and this is going to cause that, this kind of thing. We need to take into account the truth. And this is where your mind might rebel against you. What I'm going to say. But this is important to understand if you want to become aware of what reality actually is and what it's actually doing. So you have to become willing to accept the fact that you're not going to be able to know what this is going to do when you do it, whatever it is. You have to be willing to accept the fact that you think that this particular policy or this particular thing, whatever it is going to do something in particular, a certain kind of thing. Like if I raise the minimum wage, it's going to help workers, this kind of thing. We often don't see the things that it's going to do We see the things that we think it's going to do, but we don't see the things it's actually going to do. This is the unknowable part of reality. And this is why
I will say, I've said it multiple times over and over and over again, reality is messy. It's going to be messy. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be something that you can look at and go, oh, well, this caused this, and this caused that, and this caused this. You know, it takes years for science to discover something. You know, to give an example, a simple example, right? Oftentimes, what I've noticed people do is they're like, oh, this is a scientific study. This study, the study says this, and the study is saying that this is causing this, and it's happening, right? And nothing wrong with scientific studies. This is not me bashing or being skeptical of science, but this is about the messiness of reality, right? But because they do this, they don't realize that not every study is equal. Some studies have methodological flaws. Some studies have too small a sample size, right? And there were people who were saying that vaccines caused autism because of certain studies, but those studies were too small. They were flawed in a lot of ways, this kind of thing, right? And so just because you have and see a scientific study does not mean that scientific study is valid or accurate or correct. It might be, but it may not be. That's the messiness of reality. Taking into account the it may not be, or it may be, even though I think it's not going to happen, this kind of thing. And so, as a result, reality is constantly flexing and flowing and this kind of thing. Reality is messy. It's changing constantly. It's chaotic. But more than that, it's unknowable. It's something that your mind is not going to be able to predict at all. Perhaps not even at all. Maybe to some extent. Maybe it'll be like, oh, this caused this, and you might have been right. But you might have been right sheerly because of luck. Or you might have been right because you might have been actually right, like correct in your observation. But you didn't know it, or you might have been right. Or might have thought you were right when you weren't right, things like this. So this is why binaries are kind of like one of those things where you look at a lot of binaries, like right and wrong, truth, false, and you realize like it's not fitting of reality in a lot of ways. Like if you have your own moral opinion of what's right and what's wrong, that's one thing. That's not surprising, that's probably natural response. But if you have this idea of objective truth, which is what Western society is kind of built on, this idea like there is something called truth and it is objective and we can objectively find it. I'm not saying there isn't any such thing as objective truth, but what I've really come to understand is that, you know, so many people differ on and disagree on what that objective truth is. Even science can disagree on this. Scientists as well, things like this. Because objective truth either is something that you can't know or is something that is, you know, changing. It changed. That's what you may have been right at one point, but now it's different. That kind of thing. So many people disagree on what they think is true and false. I'm not saying what they think is true or false.
I'm not saying vaccines cause autism. I'm not saying there's a flat earth. I'm not saying there's a Illuminati thing. What I'm saying is more profound. And what I'm saying really is that because there are so many differences between what people think is true, you have to wonder, can you actually know the direct cause of something? Not to mention the point of the messiness of reality and the messiness of the mind as well. The mind is not this, like, it is amazing, don't get me wrong, the brain is amazing, what it can do, and this kind of thing, but it's not perfect. It has its own problems and its own flaws. And I don't mean flaws and problems as in, like, you have too much anger or you drink too much. I'm talking flaws as in, like, logical flaws. Like, flaws that, like, will affect your decision-making process in a way that you don't necessarily want to happen. But it's happening anyways because of bias and because of these flaws within your own mind. Because the mind, if you think about what the mind really is, what the mind really does, how it works, you understand that what the mind is doing or attempting to do when it is doing any of these things is doing, for most people, is it's shortening the process. It's trying to create these, like, cheat codes. Have you ever played a game and you have cheat codes where you can become, like, invincible and this kind of thing? That's what your mind is doing, not necessarily to become invincible, to become more, to do more for itself and with itself. Because if it had to calculate and contemplate all of the, what's the word I'd use here, permutations or ways in which reality can show itself and contemplate and contemplate all the ways in which you can affect those permutations for the good and not for the bad, and how much effect you can have and how little, this kind of thing. It would take you years. It would take you hundreds of thousands of years, if not millions of years, to do. In some cases, it would take you millions of years to do. For others, it might take you only years, but that'd be years that you couldn't get food. That'd be years that you couldn't get water. That'd be years that you couldn't find a mate for yourself, things like this. And so your mind works based off of what you could call shortcuts or cheat codes or what science calls heuristics. What some people call logical fallacies, this kind of thing. Because not because the mind is attempting to be flawed, but because it's attempting to shorten the process. And so instead of attempting to calculate the trillions and trillions upon trillions of permutations and different ways in which reality can be and how it will respond to what you're trying to do to it, now you just make like a split the second decision like this, and now you have a shortcut, you have a cheat code, heuristics, bias, logical fallacies, this kind of thing. And these kinds of biases, these kinds of shortcuts, they're meant to make things easier for the mind, but because they make it easier for the mind, you often can kind of not see things that are, like, literally right in front of you, but not see them because you're focusing on all these other effects that you're looking for. So to give you an example, right, so you could attempt to do something for another person. You're attempting to help them, you're attempting to do whatever it is you're doing. And
you might think the response they might give you is kindness, but the response might instead would be like anger or frustration or annoyance or something. Because reality, say it with me, is messy. It's not simple. And these shortcuts, while they're simple and useful, they don't account for this. And they can't account for this. You can't account for any of this. At all. Maybe to some extent, I won't say at all, but like a lot of this won't be able to be something that you can account for. And I'm not even talking about accountabilities and like you did this, you must be held accountable, this kind of thing. That's another subject we can go into when it comes to this as well. But I'm talking about like you're doing this to get a result of X, but you get a consequence of Y. Or maybe you get the result of X, but you also get the consequence of Y, or the consequence of Y and Z, or whatever, right? And so there's too many things for you to account for. Because reality is messy. Yeah, I don't mean when I say reality is messy, I don't mean that reality is difficult, although it couldn't be that as well. What I mean is that reality is not going to fit into your bubble of what you think it should be, or needs to be, or has to be, or wants to be, based on what you want it to be, whatever it is, right? It's not going to do it. In fact, you probably could almost make the argument that the real thing to do is to almost expect that the unexpected is going to happen. Expect that the unaccounted for thing is going to happen, because it probably will in many cases in life. And we understand that, I think, but I don't think we realize how deep this actually goes. And the less we understand that, the more dogmatic we become, the more ideological we become. It becomes about this thing. And so if you're not doing any of this, you kind of go into these extremes of like extreme objectivity or extreme subjectivity, where it's like, you know, I'm only focusing on the so-called objective, whatever that is. Assuming you can even focus on that in the first place. Like, assuming that your subjectivity isn't influencing what you think is objectively true, things like this. But some people go to the opposite extreme of only subjectivity, which comes about with phrases like my truth and your truth and this kind of thing. And well, you could say there's some validity in that when it comes to your emotions and things like this. This is not helpful when you're actually trying to make a decision that's going to affect you and others in a real world scenario. If anything, it might make things worse, because you're attempting to be something that you're not, and you're going to be triggered by things because they push your buttons emotionally and things like this. Because reality is not going to fit into your designs for it. It may for a time, but it probably won't, or at least not completely, because reality is messy. It's not simple. It's not a simple device. The mind is messy. It's not a simple device in the same way. And honestly, I think we come to see the opposite. That reality is not messy, the mind is not messy in certain situations, because oftentimes we do something and it produces the result that we were expecting. But that's often because we're not necessarily looking behind the scenes, this kind of thing. And so reality becomes something that you're attempting to influence and manipulate in this way. And this is what I think separates this is one possible thing that might separate a nuanced person from a dogmatic person, is that a nuanced person is more willing to understand this and see this. A dogmatic person will not see this, even if you point it out straight out to them, to such a point to where it's completely obvious to most people. And so taking into account uncertainty is going to, in my opinion, based on my own experience with doing this, is going to make you a little bit more wary of and skeptical of a specific idea or understanding or even scientific study or something. Because like I said, not all scientific studies are equal, are created equal. In the same way, not all solutions are created equal. And honestly, I don't expect people to do this, because to be honest with you, it's something that your mind is going to rebel doing, especially if this is the first time you've heard something like this. Because we understand this intellectually, but we don't necessarily take this into account intellectually, and even in practice, necessarily. Unless, of course, our career is based on something where we have to do that. Even then, though, I can still see people doing things that aren't the most effective because of their bias, because of their mind flaws. Because they don't take into account the possibility of uncertainty about their ideas and how useful or effective that idea might actually be in practice. Sounds good in theory when you're thinking about it in your head, because your mind is good at interweaving storytelling together with these kinds of facts, this kind of thing. Because that's how it also does the shortcuts that it does, or at least one of the ways, or a couple of ways, I suppose. But that does not mean that's going to be what happens in reality. And oftentimes, what I find is that the more that you're doing this in your mind, the less you're going to be taking that into account when it comes to reality itself. Okay. And this is usually why I focus primarily on self-based actions and techniques and ideas, because they may affect others, but primarily they're going to be affecting you. They may be affecting you in a way that you're not ready for, but I usually try to give that nuanced point when I'm making those techniques available in these different episodes. Because oftentimes we don't even know our minds as much as we think we do, honestly. Because a lot of it is kind of like behind the scenes. In a little way, it's hard to explain what that means, but a lot of it is, it's behind the scenes, it's true for reality as well. Now, to give you an example, you probably have a smartphone. You might even be watching or listening to this with a smartphone, but you don't know how the smartphone works behind the scenes. That's what I mean by a lot of this is hidden behind the scenes. And I'm not telling you to look at how your phone works or how everything works, but I'm just giving you that point to understand that you must learn to take uncertainty into account if you're going to be, if you want to, if you don't want to, that's one thing, but if you want to, right? Because it's going to help you to become more aware of these things, more aware of these things that are usually behind the scenes, that are usually hidden. And this has to do with your mind as well, and yourself. It's really funny to me how much is actually hidden behind the scenes that most people don't realize, because it's not directly visible to you. Now, to give an example, you might be using a computer to listen to this, or you might use your computer sometimes, but you don't necessarily think about how computers work. Well, what kind of codes that computer uses, this kind of thing. You don't usually think about how good or bad the computer works unless it stops working properly, unless it starts acting strangely. And then you go, ah, that piece of shit computer, and this kind of thing. That's what I mean by a lot of this is hidden behind the scenes. I'd say about 99% of reality is hidden behind the scenes of the content of reality. And it's really interesting to become aware of that. Like, literally, I don't really do it as much anymore, but I was doing it for a while. I was asking ChatGPT a lot of questions because I was curious to see how much it knows, if it knows, whatever you want, this kind of thing. And I really started becoming aware of a lot of the things that were actually behind the scenes that I was not aware of. It's actually very interesting to me how much of reality is behind the scenes. How much of it we don't notice because we take it for granted, or because we're not aware of the inner workings of this thing and this kind of thing. And I'm not saying you should become aware of that. If you want to, you can, but this is more about becoming aware that your reality is going to be uncertain. And so when it comes to a position, a dogmatic position that you might be holding on to because it serves you, if you don't understand this fact, and if you don't understand the fact about most of reality being behind the scenes, behind the curtain, if you will, then you're going to think that your solution is going to be the best and correct solution when it may not be, because it's ignoring or not seeing the behind-the-scenes part of reality itself. The same reason why I look at a lot of books that have been written by scientists and books that are about different things, different knowledge, because a lot of it is behind the scenes, and I'm aware of it, and it goes, oh, that's very interesting. How would that cause this? You know, this kind of thing. I mean, you could do this whole thing for the rest of your life, and you still wouldn't become aware of 1%, 1%, 1%, 1%, 1% of all the things that are hidden behind the scenes. It's just impossible. And so it's not necessarily about becoming aware of those things. If you do, if you do want to become aware of those things, that's great. But it's not about that. It's about becoming aware that this is what reality is. We're just not aware of it because we don't see. Oftentimes what I find is that we don't necessarily see reality. We see like the surface level sometimes. And we might go, oh, this is annoying, or this is cool, or whatever. Whatever's happening, but we don't see behind the scenes of why this is happening, what's causing this to happen, whatever it is, right? Including your own self. Your own self is hidden behind the scenes. I'm not talking about your unconscious, I'm talking about just your mind in general. Just things that are behind the scenes you're not aware of. So, yeah, that's the episode for today. Talking about how reality is behind the scenes, how reality is messy, this kind of thing. This is what a nuanced person can understand. And if you don't want to see that, that's fine. But you're going to be disappointed by life because you're not willing to see and take into account things that were not taken into account before. And taking into account, not necessarily taking into account what you haven't taken into account before, because you're not going to be able to take all those things into account, but taking into account the truth that reality, most of reality is behind the scenes, you might not be aware of those behind the scenes aspects of reality. Or to make it even more general, you don't take into account the fact that you might be not as correct about this as you think you are, this kind of thing. Basically becoming more uncertain about this thing, basically becoming more willing to give some ground, give some validity to the other points, whatever it is, right? And I don't mean agree with the opposite thing that you agree with. Now, I'm talking about seeing the kernel of truth within the opposite opinion, the opposite point of view, whatever that is. And acknowledging that for the person, if that's what it takes. So, that's pretty much it for this one. Hope you enjoyed, and I will probably be talking to you in another episode. So, some final points here before it ends, actually, and I publish it. So, some basic takeaways here to shorten all of this down to what this is really supposed to tell you. What is the message? What is the purpose? Why am I telling you this stuff, right?
And it really comes down to the question of knowledge and how certain are you that this thing is actually true or actually false, things, this kind of thing, right? Because what I've really become aware of when it comes to this is that a lot of this comes down to what you've read. Honestly, like, you haven't experienced any of this. And there's nothing wrong with reading things, but it definitely is one of those things where, and you see this a lot in politics as well, where you see something you read or something you watched, and you agree and you, or you disagree, and you have all these arguments about these disagreements and this kind of thing. So really the point is to attempt to learn to unlearn those things and to attempt to become a little bit less certain about your views. And you can do that by asking questions. You can do that by looking for counter evidence, things like this. But the point is to get you to a state of open mind, a state where you can actually start to kind of make sense of all this shit. Because it's like I said before, I've said this many times, but there is a kernel of truth in almost every opinion, or seeming truth, right? And that's important to understand if you want to understand yourself and others. And understand that you're not perfect and nobody else is perfect about this. And they're going to be human and they're going to make mistakes about things like this. And they're not going to know the truth. But this is something that we don't... Well, I do, but I know there's a lot of people in politics or anything really who don't do this and who don't recognize this. Because they're so stuck in what is right or what is wrong, that they don't understand what they're doing to themselves and others. And they don't understand that life is not like this in real life. It's not this simple. In some ways it is, but not necessarily in a right and wrong sense, but in a sort of sensation without thought sense. But that's another episode. So, hope you enjoy this episode, and I'll talk to you in the next one.